I'd like to start tonight with the first and the third verse of number 302. Brother Moore, would you lead it? First and third of number 302. My soul will be on thy guard.
My soul will be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise, and an host of sin are met, singing hard to draw thee from the skies. Ne'er think the victory won, nor once had he sit down. Thy guardian's work will not be done till thou hast got the crown.
The word I wrote on the board is conducive. It's not a word I use very often, but here's the definition for it. Making a certain situation or outcome likely or possible. Mm-hmm. Tending to produce, providing a good environment for. Through this message, I would like for you to think about that word, conducive. There were times in the Bible where Jesus would give a parable. Think about the parable of the sower and the seed. Given a story about temporal things. But you know, he never left that chapter with you just thinking about the man and how much he got from his produce. He always, maybe even before the chapter ended, he would give you the spiritual lesson that came from it. Yeah. The Lord has been dealing with me for my own life about conducive. Things that can come into my life that provide a good environment for failure. And you know what? If I can learn ahead of time what those are, I can avoid that. Yes. I can bypass it. So I have a story that I'd like to tell you of what gave me an example for this. And after I tell you this, I hope that you won't go home and say what we learned from it is just the story. But I want to be able to get a spiritual lesson from it. A few weeks ago, I went to work one morning. I work in Oklahoma City in an office building. There's maybe 1,500 people that are in that building. And when I got to work, the building manager called for all employees to come to the office. When we got there, it was a beautiful morning, sun shining. And he said, I want to tell you, he said, there is a high risk for tornadoes today. He said, it's on the Weather Channel. He said, it is very likely that before the day is over, we will have tornadoes. And you know, I can look outside and say, come on, the sun is shining. You know, you just can't make a tornado happen just anywhere, just because somebody said it's going to happen. And they started warning us. They said, okay, here's a list of who's responsible for what area should a tornado hit. Sun shining. And at the same time, the National Weather Service is making a prediction. Today is the day. How can it be? And it made me think about the days when I read stories about people in covered wagons heading west. A beautiful day. Didn't have a National Weather Service then. Through the day, maybe it's real humid, hot, but the sun's shining. And then up comes a dark cloud. Well, we might have a rain. And before it was over, this tornado had come through and torn everything up. Made me think also about Noah. It said they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. The National Weather Service, they're not just guessing, okay, we haven't had to put these kind of warnings out for several months. It's a good time to do it. You know, there's a lot of information that the National Weather Service is picking up across the nation. You know, I will hear times where they will tell us there's a storm system coming in off of the ocean to California. And we project that it will hit Oklahoma at this time. We will have thunderstorms from it at this time. Now, wait a minute, how can they do that? You know what? They have over the years been taking data, and they have been able to forecast. We've had one like this before. And if it continues this way, I can give you a fair warning. You know, how can we today, you know, I like to get a 10-day forecast. I want them to tell me 7 days out, here's what you're going to have. It's going to be a sunshiny day. You know what they're doing? The best that they can from past history, when these kind of systems have come in way out here 1,000 miles away, they tend to do this, and so we will just give you that kind of forecast. Through this, I want you to know I'm not intending to leave here with you just understanding about tornadoes. As I talk to you, I want you to think about your soul, because you know what? I tend to do the same thing with my soul.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. This is a dangerous time. The sun's shining. Everything is good around me. I hear the ministers warning me, but no, the sun's shining. Life is good. I read this. What causes a tornado to form anyhow? You know, it's not just they say we haven't had one in quite a while. We're going to advertise it. Maybe today will be the day. No, they have started collecting information from past history, what causes them to come about. And they're able to now tell us it's a real likely today will be when it happens. This is what I read. Tornadoes form in violent thunderstorms where there is sufficient instability and wind shear present in the lower atmosphere. It says instability is when there's unusually warm and humid air in the lower atmosphere and cooler than normal air in the upper atmosphere. So the National Weather Service wasn't just guessing this would be a good day to tell them there's one coming. They've been collecting information. This happened last time there was a tornado, and it's developing now. It says wind shear, the wind direction changing and wind speed increasing with height. And we have never seen a tornado yet. It's still, the sun is shining, but they start seeing something happen. And here's the example they gave. We have a south wind on the surface that's 15 miles an hour. And at 5,000 foot altitude, we got a southwest wind at 50 miles an hour. The spin has already started, and I never even saw the funnel yet. It's just that it's developing, and they start sending out a warning in the morning. Humidity's right. This wind shear is starting to happen. We're seeing it. So they send out the warning. They say usually it only exists ahead of a cold front and a low pressure system. So on that day, the sun's shining outside, but they tell us go through and get all of your emergency equipment together. Be ready for today. We got 1,500 people in the building. Should this really develop, I want you to be prepared. I want you to protect these people. So we listen to weather reports. That was in the morning time of that day. Listen to weather reports, and they keep saying it's developing. And it always starts out in southwestern Oklahoma. And they're saying it's developing. Developed to the point that they sent storm chasers from all over Oklahoma head west, because there's a very good chance this will happen today. Then we start hearing, okay, there's a thunderstorm, a severe thunderstorm. Now this thunderstorm is producing baseball-sized hail, and it's coming our way. Then, if you've ever been out there, nowadays they start telling you the tornado is on the ground. And they have enough information, they're not guessing, they've got enough information coming in of how this thing is traveling that they start putting up on the screen. If it continues to do what it's doing right now. See, we're just talking weather. You know what? My soul is in the same place. If I continue in this direction, a prediction can be made for my future. So they start putting up on the screen, it's here now. It's traveling in this direction. These are the towns, and this is the time that it will reach that town. There have been times when it changes direction. And then you see a correction made, okay? There's an adjustment to be made. It has now made a turn toward the southwest or whatever. And now these towns with these times are warnings. You'll also hear a warning. They'll say, if you have family and friends in this town, give you the name, call them and tell them to take shelter immediately. And then they will even go to the point that they will say, if you're in this town, do not go outside to look. It is on top of you right now. It just hasn't lowered to touch the ground. A warning to them. These storm chasers that they send out, why do they go? We have so many things that by computer are monitoring it. But they go out there to where they can have a hands-on. They can tell you, they can send pictures because they're running right along beside it, taking pictures of it. In 2013, some of you may remember this. Right there coming, there was a tornado coming in toward Oklahoma City, and it was following along Interstate 40. And there was a storm chaser. He and his son had done it for years and been very successful. Those that are willing to get really close, they become very popular because they can send some of the best pictures in for people to see the storm. Well, on this day, they were close, but they happened to get over on a dirt road that they weren't familiar with, and then the tornado moved over to where they were, and there was no escape. They had them, if you've listened to them before, they're on the radio. They're talking on the radio. They're letting you know what it's doing. Well, these men were talking, and they called out, we're going to die in this one. And it said the tornado caught that car and threw it a half a mile, and two of the people were ejected. This is the strength of the storm that this morning I just saw sunlight. Can't bother me. They must have got something wrong. Surely they did. And it said the two men that were thrown out, when they finally found them, they were a mile apart. This storm system was so big that it spun them around, and they found them a mile apart from each other. Is this message about tornadoes? Nah. Folks, you and I got a soul that is headed for eternity. And if I could just see, there are things that are conducive to my life that sometimes I bring in and it seems like this will not affect me at all. The sun shining, how could this thing produce a tornado in my life? Is it possible that my life is just that predictable today? That God has taken information about how I'm living, input that information, and can predict for me right now, Dan, unless there's a change, here's what's coming. Mm-hmm. Is that real? Yes. It says at the end of Ecclesiastes, fear God, keep his commandments, because this is the whole duty of man.
Yes.
Because God is going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You think he doesn't have that information in his computer system right now? He does. I just haven't come to the judgments yet. He is able to forecast today about my life and about your life by those things that have been input into it. There's a song that we have, All My Words and Thoughts. You know, folks, sometimes we need to stop and realize God knows everything.
Yeah.
You know, we're in a world that is pressing us today that there's not even a God. I need to have faith to believe there's not only a God, but he knows everything about me. You don't know my thoughts. God knows them. And God takes those thoughts and say, Dan, unless you get those, bring those into captivity, then I can make a prediction about your life.
Yes.
Just like we can make a prediction about that tornado. All my words and thoughts are to him fully known. We're going to surely reap the deeds that we have sown.
Yes.
From his holy presence, we can never flee, because the day and night are both the same with thee. He is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of my heart. As we think about the National Weather Service, I would like for us to shift that over now and realize that on the spiritual side, God has a warning system.
Amen.
One day, Jesus sent out the National Weather Alert. You know, there are times that they will say Oklahoma has an alert, but there's other times they will narrow it down. This county is under alert. There are some times where they have the alerts, it's just, it could happen. And then there's the warnings, it is on you, it's coming. You know, God has the same things for us, and sometimes I'm just too busy to hear it. One of the most dangerous times for a tornado is at night, when we're all asleep. I remember one time, you can buy a weather radio, and you can set it. If you buy a weather radio, you can put it for an area, and that thing just goes off and goes off, and it might be, the storm might be 75 miles from you. So I got tired of that. So you can program it. I don't want it to tell me if it's out 75 miles. Only tell me if it is right here in my county. You can program that. Well, we had a tornado come through one night, and it didn't alert us. Somebody had to call us to warn us. And Cheryl said, "What is wrong with our weather radio?" Well, when the storms all passed, I looked at it, and I found out that I had gotten tired of that thing ringing so many times, warning me, and it's off somewhere in the distance, and I could have slept a long time. And I hit the silence button, and I didn't put it back on the next morning. You know, folks, it's so easy for us to do that. I know it's a warning. I know there's a storm system that can devour my soul. But it's off at a distance right now. Lethargy is a dangerous thing for my soul.
Yes.
That I just kind of relax. Yes, I hear the warnings. Yes, but it's at a distance. I still got time. Jesus sent out an alert. I'd like to look at it. Luke, the 22nd chapter. Because you know what? If I'm not careful, I can do the same thing that happened in this alert. 22 and 31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." I wonder if the Lord has ever changed that and had my name in there. Dan, look out. Dan, there's some things that are on the horizon for you if you don't take the warnings. But Jesus goes on, he says, "I've prayed for you, that your faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brother." You know, there are times where the warnings will come in. Don't even go outside and look, because this storm is right on top of you. Head for your shelter. But with Peter, here came the warning. Peter, conditions are developing that will cause you to fail. Peter looked outside, so to speak, and said, "I don't see a storm. The sun's shining. I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death."
Yeah.
You know, the dangerous thing for me is when the warning comes and I'm like the Laodiceans. I don't have a problem. And Jesus says, "It's totally different, Dan, than what you see yourself to be." He sees the storms that's coming for our life. More than that, he sees the final time when I step out of here and never have a chance to correct it again. And if I'm not careful, I will spend my time trying to figure out, how bad is this one? Is this one bad enough that it could get me, or could I do it and still make it? Folks, we're too close to eternity to take a chance. There have been people that the warnings came to them about the tornado. But you know what? It's always when the tornado is close, it's pouring down rain. And we've got a storm shelter, but I'm going to have to run through the rain to get to it. So I just as soon wait till I know for sure I need to go. Am I willing to get wet enough? Now, Cheryl's different. She hears about it. She'll just take her stuff and go on. She's not going to take the chance. You know what? I need to be that way with my soul. I need to say, Lord, I'm not taking a chance. I understand I only get one chance going out into eternity. If I miss it, I missed it forever. It's just this serious. The rich man is still there tonight. He missed it. Wasn't even a real evil man that I can see. If he was, it didn't post it. He just failed to heed some warnings. Because I don't believe God sent him to hell and he didn't know why. Somehow, the God that I know gave him some way to know what to do, and he failed to do it. Peter wasn't the only one. Judas. When we look at what Judas did, we don't see a whole lot before. When he was a disciple of the Lord, he walked with him just like the others. What caused him to have such a huge failure? And then I found this verse in John, in the 12th chapter, and in the 4th through the 6th verse. It says, Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And I don't know if I've read this 6th verse before. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag, and he bare what was put therein. How is it possible, walking along beside Jesus, and Jesus is constantly telling people what they're thinking, and Judas is thinking he's going to get by with it? This is what the reason he said it was because he was a thief. You know what? Judas could have turned just like Simon turned when he failed. He was warned. I don't believe Jesus said, No, you sold me. I'd never forgive you. He could have been forgiven himself. But I look at what a dangerous place he put himself in. The hypocritical place that he put himself in. When the others, out of genuine concern in their heart, said, Lord, you're saying that one of us is going to betray you? You know, they didn't go to point to each other and say, yeah, I tell you what, I've been watching that one over there. I imagine he's the one. All of them were saying, Lord, is it I? You know what? One of them knew it was him. But to look just like all the rest, he steps up, say, what about it, Lord, is it I? How could you do that after you have walked with Jesus for all that time? There are some things that are conducive. There are some things that can come into my life, and unless I take care of them, they can start providing an environment that is going to be ripe for failure. Yes. And more than just failure in this life is failure for eternal life. Here's another where a warning went out. In Genesis, in the 4th chapter, God himself sending out the warning alert. Cain and Abel. When Cain's sacrifice was not accepted, the Lord said in the 6th verse, 4th chapter, unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin lies at your door. Conducive. Cain, if you continue in this direction, God's making a prediction. Cain, if you continue in this direction, there's trouble out ahead.
Yes.
God to the children of Israel many times sent warnings to them. A lot of those we will read where it's telling them, if you will do this, my blessings will be on you. And then especially in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, that has a lot of verses in it. About the first half of that chapter is, I tell you what, if you will obey, if you will follow my commandments, my blessings, they're just going to overtake you. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be. And I mean, it just continues on. It's like I'm going to pour blessings on you. You know what? Conducive is not just a negative thing. We can put good things in our life,
yes,
and it's conducive. We hear the scripture, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. There's a reason for that.
Yes.
It's conducive. You start putting the service of the Lord first, and you're going to put yourself in an environment that is good for being able to make heaven your home, that is good for being able to make right spiritual decisions. In that time where God was talking to the children of Israel, he issued some warnings to them. He said, don't make marriages with them, because there's something that's going to happen. There is something that's conducive by doing that. It's going to provide an environment that's not going to be good. They're going to turn away your heart to serve other gods. And with that, I think about Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. You know what? Nobody is above this conducive atmosphere for negative or positive. Solomon had the positive in his life. Folks, what would it be to have the God of heaven come to you in a dream and so happy with how you're living that he tells you, you just tell me anything you want and I'll give it to you. And the reason I know that there were good things working in Solomon's life was how he answered it. You know, he wasn't looking on the temporal things. He wasn't saying, I'll tell you what, I want more gold than any other king has ever had. Instead, he said, I need an understanding heart. I'm just a child. I don't know how to judge this great people that you've given me. And it said that speech pleased the Lord. He is headed in a right direction. All he's got to do is keep the right environment in his heart. Because folks, at any time, we're all able to make choices.
Yeah.
The devil is out to give us a choice. And some of the most dangerous choices are the ones that I'll make. And like Eve, Satan told her, you're not going to die. You won't surely die. You're going to be able to make it. God knows that it's going to really make you wise. The most dangerous for me is when I can make a little turn, headed toward wrong, and I don't see the storm right then.
Lord, help
us. I got to have faith to believe, Dan, you head this way, and a prediction can be made. It's coming. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived.
Yes.
You think with all his wisdom, he hadn't read those commandments that God had given the children of Israel?
Yes.
You think it was something that he just happened to miss those verses? Solomon went on, and God continued to pour blessings on his life. He built the temple. And when it was finished, Solomon had a prayer that pleased the Lord. And God said, I tell you what, I'm going to be here forever. But God knew there's things that can be conducive. And so he added, but if. Solomon, I'm not guaranteeing this to you, you're going to have to follow in a direction to be able to keep my blessings on you. But if, Solomon, if you turn from doing what I have asked you to do, this house, I'll reject it. People are going to pass by and say, what happened here? And they're going to be able to tell them it's because they turned from serving God. The Queen of Sheba, when she came and she had all the questions for Solomon, what really impressed me was not so much that she was impressed by all he had, but she was impressed how he went up to visit God. I believe how she was impressed is he didn't go as an equal. I believe she saw the humility of this wise man when he ascends up to worship God. It said her heart melted within her. She didn't have anything else to say. She was impressed. And you know what? There was a storm on the horizon. It had already begun to develop, and the sun's still shining. Because we read that Solomon made an affinity with Pharaoh, and he took his daughter. Didn't anything happen that day? The sun's still shining. But just like that storm system that they're predicting, because the humidity is right, the wind directions are right for it to develop, things started developing in Solomon's life. You know what? The outcome of my life is going to be determined by choices that I make every day. How sensitive I am to these things that God shows me, then this is conducive. What I'm doing today cannot be called sin. But God can take this and what I add to it tomorrow and a few more things and a little more time, and it can draw my heart away from God. Human reasoning, to me, it had to have been a part of what Solomon did with Pharaoh taking his daughter. Because that's a very smart thing to do if you're not factoring God in. Because if he will take Pharaoh's daughter, you won't have to worry about Pharaoh coming to make war against you again, because you got his grandchildren. Seemed like a good thing to do, except that God way back here said, this is conducive to failure. Don't do it. And then it goes on down to the 11th chapter of 1 Kings. He loved many strange women. It didn't just end with one, nor does this spiral downward hardly ever end with just one thing. It picks up as it goes. And then it goes on down to where now his wives have turned away his heart, to where it's no longer perfect toward God. And he gets one more visit from God Almighty. That visit was not, Solomon, ask me what you want and I'll give it to you. It was the warning, you've turned against me and trouble is coming. The saddest thing about that story is that the wisest man that ever lived, we have no record that he repented. If we would have just seen the very next verse say Solomon fell on his knees before God and said, I have sinned, I will correct this, we don't read it. We have a song that says, watch and pray. The tempter may be near us. Keep your heart with jealous care. Lest the door, we're not talking about 3 years or 6 years unguarded. Lest the door a moment left unguarded, evil thoughts may enter there. And a thought not cast out can become an action. There is a verse in Proverbs 22. The 22nd chapter of Proverbs in the third verse. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and they're punished. As we look at stories in the Bible in the past, I would just look at the incident and see where I saw it begin and where I saw it end. But as I start thinking about this word, I think, you know what? That thing moved on back to a point where it was not a sin, but it was not taken care of. Those are the ones that I need to be real careful about. David was considered to be a man after God's own heart. That's what Samuel said that God was saying, I'm looking for a man after my own heart. And David was chosen. David was used by God to slay Goliath. Something David could not have done on his own. But you know what? Something came in. Lest the door a moment left unguarded, even David can fall. And when I look at that story in 2 Samuel 11 and 2, where, folks, there are things presented to our mind continually.
Yes,
we live in the world.
Yeah.
Conducive is when it continues on until it builds an environment for failure. When David saw Bathsheba, folks, it was a critical time for him. Because conducive, it makes me want to back up a little bit farther and say, where was David's heart? Where was his mind before he ever went out on the roof? Because, you know, had David been in devotion just before that, and had the Ten Commandments down and reading them and saying, Lord, I want to obey every one of these. I just read them through and I've just stepped out on my porch for some fresh air and here's what I saw. Folks, I tell you what, the red lights would have flashed.
Yeah.
Because there was about four or five of them that before this thing is over, he has violated them. There is a process to sin. Conducive doesn't mean just when it begins, it's blown up. That tornado, back when they stated it in the morning, I'd have said they missed it. I like to play weatherman every once in a while. I like to look outside and say, there's no way. They say it's going to be 100% chance of rain and the sun shining. And most of the time I miss it. Well, one thing that does help me, sometimes they miss it too. But you know what? They have some information that they're working off of. Usually the reason they miss it is because there's a change in the things that were going to make it happen. There's a process for sin. I'd like to take a look at it for just a little bit. In James, and we see this process happen in David's life. In the first chapter, James 1 and 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. It's beginning. This conducive is just beginning. The environment is becoming ripe. At any time right in here, I can call on God and turn it around. But the environment is starting. He's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death.
Yes.
It will always go through that cycle. But you know what? At any time in there, I could turn. Just like that storm system, it'll say, if it continues this way, it will be these towns in the next few minutes. But you know what? That storm system can turn, and now it's no longer going that way. Folks, we can, in our life, we can turn. We can call. I am so glad for the plan of salvation.
Yes. Amen.
That will stop this cycle and turn it around at any time.
Yes.
I was thinking of Ahab. When he looked out at Naboth's vineyard, there wasn't anything really wrong with going to Naboth and saying, you know, you got some nice land. I'll be willing to pay you whatever you want for it. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. It's the next steps that follow that make this conducive to failure when I follow the next steps. Mm-hmm. When Naboth says, no, I don't want to sell it. You know what? Those are places in our life where I need to be on guard, because the next step can lead me into trouble. Absalom. We see him when he's hanging in the tree by his hair. But you know what? It didn't start there. That life moved way, way back. And I was reading it today. You remember when Absalom started coming to the gate of the city there? And he started making friends with the people. And he said, I tell you what's your problem? And they tell him the problem. He said, oh, I tell you, I wish there was somebody here. There's just nobody here to help you out. I wish there was. And it says he stole the hearts of the people. Conducive. It started in a direction that was not checked. It says the heart is deceitful. Without God being able to make adjustments to my heart, it's deceitful. It'll deceive me. You know, I feel like, hey, everything can be right. My heart can deceive me. The Lord searches the heart.
Yes,
says he tries the reins. And what he really longs for is for me to do what was said here in Psalms. In Psalms 139, is for me to send up a prayer. Lord, I understand that every way of a man is right in his own eyes. If I search myself, Lord, I'm going to be soft on myself. So, Lord, Psalms 139 and 23, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, I won't even judge myself because I'm going to miss it. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. We read in 1 John 2 and 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. You know, just for me to start pursuing after the world will be like the day when they say this could be a storm today, but the sun's still shining. But when I have headed in that direction, it starts growing on itself. The environment becomes ripe for failure spiritually. But the plan of salvation, I don't want to leave it that this is all just negative, because the plan of salvation was to stop this in its tracks and turn it around.
Amen.
Ezekiel 36 and 26, a new heart will it give you. Where I have been affected by things coming into me and heading me in the wrong direction, he can give us a new heart, a new direction.
Yes.
Now, you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to seek things that are conducive for me being able to continue in the right direction.
Amen.
It doesn't matter which way it is. You feed it either way, and it's going to take you in that direction.
Yes, that's true.
Said he will cause us to walk in his statutes. Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I think about that man in Psalms 1 and 1. He made some choices in his life. He allowed some things to be conducive in his life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But I want to tell you, you're going to have to fill yourself with something. Because if I have cut those things out, it's going to be like that man that, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, that spirit walks about checking to see. And he comes back and he finds it empty. But this man in Psalms 1 and 1, he emptied himself of all those, but he didn't stay empty.
Yeah.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law he meditates day and night. This conducive, now when temptation comes, a scripture is there to combat it. It would have been David's salvation if he had been seeking the Lord before he went on his roof. Because there could have been a verse come to David. David, make this change. He could have done it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Folks, we're living in a world that all around us, they say, salvation won't make much change in you. It is just a decision you make for Christ, and then you can make heaven your home in the end. Folks, I tell you, this thing will turn us around. It'll make a change in our life. But then we're going to have to feed it the right things, because it's going to cause an environment to be in our life one way or another. Folks, we need the Holy Spirit so much in this day and time. I was thinking of what I consider to be an example of it in Isaiah. Thine ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you get ready to turn to the left or the right, my human reasoning says this is the right way to go. And here comes this word to check me. That's Isaiah 30 and 21. This is the way. Folks, we're living in a time where so many people are saying, this is the way. But I tell you what, if I will follow the Spirit of the Lord, I'm going to see some things coming into my life that are conducive to this salvation, that are going to lead me in the right direction. The Spirit of truth, it'll guide me into all truth. I need Him to be able to search me. I need Him to check me. Folks, I never want to feel like I have arrived, because let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's one verse I'd like to leave with you. It's in Romans in the 6th chapter. Because this is not just conducive for evil, it can be conducive for right. In Romans, the 6th chapter, and in the 16th verse, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness. We have a choice which way it'll be. But he goes on in the 17th verse, but God be thanked, ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And you know, when I become a servant of righteousness, I can tell the Lord, I only want to feed into this system things that will take me in the right direction. And He has promised that He will guide me into all truth. One of the most dangerous things are the verse that says, because they received not a love for the truth, He sent a strong delusion. Now I believe the direction I'm going is the right way. He sent a strong delusion so that they would believe a lie and be damned. As I looked at that verse, you know what, I have no time to check and see if that verse applies to you. Because it applies to me.
Yes, amen.
Folks, at the time I come to a place that I no longer have a love for the truth that God wants to tell me about who I am. Because folks, it's so easy for me to say that's not me. But God knows. When I come to a place that I say, that's not who I am. Or I come to the place that I say, yes, that's just who I am. When God wants to make a change in who I am, He can allow me then to believe everything is fine. We don't want that. I want to ask you as you go from here, and I want to do it myself. Remember the word conducive. Satan at all times is trying to plant things in our mind that will take us in the wrong direction. It doesn't have to be sin. It can be what someone has done, what someone has said to me or about me. You know how Satan knows who each one of us are? He knows he's wasting his time to tell us to go out into open sin. So he won't waste his time with that. He will work on some things that will cause bitterness to come into my heart. And I don't even call it bitterness. I say I have just been wronged. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby be defiled. Bitterness is one of those things that are conducive to failure. And it doesn't start out just full-blown. It's a tornado over my house that can wreck me. It's almost, I will justify it. You know where it tells me that I need to forgive if I expect to be forgiven? You know how hard that is to do quickly? Because it's almost like if I forgive them quickly, they won't even realize they hurt me. So I need to carry this thing for a little while so that they will know how bad that really hurt me. You know how dangerous that is? Because it means if I go out, now I want to tell you, the Lord is merciful. He will deal with us. He will work with us. But I want to realize for my own heart, this is one of those things that are conducive. If I allow that to come into my heart, I've been hurt, and I just cannot let it go. I want to think about it serious enough that, hey, the tornado is over my house. Find yourself some shelter. Because if I go out into eternity right now, I could be in trouble. I want to see it just that serious. And not just that, but all areas of my life. To the young people, as the world tries to draw you, realize it's conducive. Yeah. It'll start out and it doesn't seem like it's much, but if continued, it can devour you. My soul be on thy guard. Don't think the victory won. Folks, even if we're old, don't think, okay, I've made it till now, I'm going to make it on through. The devil has a plan.
Yes, he does.
I was reading Pilgrim's Progress, and you would think when Christian would get to the river of death, everything is fine. But you know what he said? That was some of the hardest time of his life as he's crossing that. Why is it? Because Satan realizes this, it's closing out now. If he makes it through this, I've lost him. He'll make heaven his home. And so it was saying he was bringing all kind of doubts. He was bringing to his mind the failures that he had had through his life, even though he had corrected them. And he had to get victory over that as he went through the river of death. Satan will not let go. He wants every one of us. But I want to tell you, just as conducive, feed this thing with things from the Bible, with good things, and good things will come from our life. And we'll make heaven our home in the end. Pray for me.